Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blois, lead pastor of Hope City Church in Sheffield.
So, I've just been through, or Dave and I have just been through, an incredible season. And it's been a tough, and you don't see it from the front, but this is what happened. I decided about 6 months ago, normally every year, I go in October to Sydney to the Every Woman Women's Conference, which is the C3 Women's Conference. And I decided in my heart this year that I wasn't going to go. And there are a lot of reasons which I won't bring from the pulpit here, but I just decided I wasn't going to go. And when I made that decision, and it was quite a big sacrificial decision for me, because not going means I don't get to see my son, who lives in Sydney. So I knew I wouldn't be seeing him for 5 months, but he's coming home in 3 weeks. Can't wait. Anyway, that's just an aside. And as I said to God, right, I'm not going to go, the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and said, Jenny, I'm going to give you a new home. And this was like June time. I'm going to give you a new home. And you think that's all very lovely, but that's when all hell broke loose. And you have got absolutely no idea the battles that we faced to get into this new home. And we moved in 3 weeks ago. But it was such an incredible battle. Like, I literally, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Even to the point that someone kindly said to me, I believe God's saying to you, you shouldn't buy that house. And so when this came through to me, I thought, the age-old thing that comes into our lives, did God say? And I had to go back in my heart and go to God and say, well, you said to me, you said to me. And it always comes, the enemy tries to challenge the promise. The enemy comes and tries to challenge the promise that he's given you, and the enemy comes and says, did God say? The enemy comes and says, sit down, shut up, you don't want to do this journey, live a nice life. Now, you know me well enough to know by now, church, that I'm not that kind of girl. Like, if God said something, I'm going to battle through until it comes about. I mean, it was that challenging. There were 5 people in our chain. It was that challenging that we did not exchange contracts until the van closed on the driveway on moving day. It was crazy. And Deb Noble, blessed, was with us. She says, Jen, I have faith. I have faith. She says, as soon as that door shuts on the back of the van, you'll exchange. And it did. So if you need anybody to pray for you, just ask Deb. She was the woman of faith for the moment, because I'd been fighting this battle. And this battle of selling our house also involved Dave and I putting in our substantial dream offering into church. So the enemy was not just challenging our move, he was challenging our giving. Anybody with me now? You're on the edge of your seats, because you want to press into the promise and you want to get hold of what God has for you, and all sorts of stuff keeps coming to try and fight you. There is always a conspiracy to stop your advancement. There's always a conspiracy to stop your advancement in the kingdom. And the enemy's job profile is always to sow doubt over the plan of God. What's going to happen today in this place that God's going to resurrect dreams in your heart and determination in your spirit to see those dreams fulfilled? It's time to take the dreams off the shelf that life and adversity has taken off, bring them back and begin to believe for them again. Anybody with me this morning? The trouble is, when I preach, is I start to wind. And I need to just chill a moment, because if I wind any further, I'll blow up. So this fight that we went through was belittling, exhausting, and time-consuming. Until I came to an understanding, and this was the understanding I had, that what I was fighting for was bigger than me. That what I was actually fighting for was a new season. That I was not just fighting for my house, because this is what happens with leaders. I was not just fighting for my house, I was fighting for your house. I was not just fighting for my house, I was fighting for the sale of this building. I was fighting for, and there's interesting stuff going on about that at the moment that I can't divulge, but let's just say this is interesting. And I knew when my house, when it went through, that interesting news would come in about the building. Because I knew in the middle of my fight that I was fighting for something bigger than myself. And you wonder sometimes when you're in a fight in your personal world why you are facing such incredible opposition. And we don't often speak about this from the pulpit, but I feel very constrained by the Holy Spirit to speak about it today. You are fighting not just a new season for yourself. You are fighting for a new season for multitudes of people that want to come into the house of God. We need to get with the program, church, and understand what we're fighting. Is anybody with me this morning? So, there are dreams and destinies and deliverances and futures that need to be born. And it is always the ploy of the enemy to kill the baby before it's born. It's always the ploy of the enemy to kill your dream before it comes to pass. To swipe out the outworking of the dream that God's placed in your heart. I was the baby that was never meant to be born. I am the baby of a gang rape. And my birth mother told me some years ago, she said, my father told me to abort you before you were born. But because that incredible woman, Heather Salter, had a dream for this little baby, she decided not to abort me before I was born. Because God had a dream and a purpose and a destiny for my life. And God has a dream and a purpose and a destiny for you. He has it in the palm of his hand. But what the enemy wants to do, he wants to come along and swipe away that dream before it even comes to pass. Let's talk about another baby and another baby's purpose that was never meant to be born. I'm going to read to you about the birth of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Let's stop a moment. So your friend comes along during the week. Guess what? Guess what's happened? I'm going to have a baby. He's born of the Holy Spirit. Now, so Mary immediately was in controversy here. This was the dream of God, but she was immediately in controversy because you wouldn't believe that, and neither did her mates. And then it goes on further and says this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Here was Mary, the mother of Jesus, pregnant with the dream of God. Here was Mary, the mother of Jesus, pregnant with God's plan for the redemption of mankind. She was pregnant with a dream. But listen to me, church. She was pregnant with a problem. If you don't hear anything this morning, hear this. When you're pregnant with a dream, you're pregnant with a problem because they live together. And I wake up most mornings and I don't think, will I have a problem today? I think, which problem will I have today? Because I know I am so full of a dream that there's going to be a problem. And the problem with our wet, limp, handshake society that we have right now is it's, oh, oh. As soon as we face a problem, we sit down and go, oh, forget it. It's too hard. I'm just going to sit on the sofa and watch another movie and eat another box of chocolates. I am not going to move out on my dream. told you I was going to be deliberately disruptive. She was pregnant with a dream, but she was pregnant with a problem. It was controversial. And the dream within Mary brought about much misunderstanding. It brought about persecution. Am I talking to anybody this morning? It brought about misunderstanding. It brought about persecution. It brought about retribution. And you're thinking to yourself this morning, well, this dream of mine is putting me out of sorts. Welcome. This dream of mine this morning is causing me much accusation. Welcome. Hello. This dream of mine this morning is causing me much financial hassle. Hello. Because when you're pregnant with a dream, you're pregnant with a problem. And it was amazing how it went on. I remember I went into the estate agents while this was all going on. And the estate agent said to me, oh, yes, you know, very patronizing. Could have punched him, but I'm a senior pastor. And he said, I know, it's very hard when all this is going on. He said, it's a real strain on marriages. And I said, he said, you have a tussle. I said, no, the tussle I'm having is within myself. I wasn't, Dave was fine. But when we're going through problems, the tussle's not usually with, it's the tussle's within ourselves. There's a fight within us. Will I back down at this point? Will I back down at this point because this is just too hard? This dream you're saying does not let me settle. Do you know Jesus' birth, it wasn't ostentatious. It wasn't in a nice place. This was, come with me. This was the dream of God for the salvation of mankind. He was born in a barn on straw. It wasn't nice. It was itchy. It wasn't the greatest occasion. Nobody was celebrating. But it was still the dream of God for mankind in a barn. And this morning, your dream this morning might reside in your heart, and it's not. It feels that it's not big and it's not going anywhere. Don't allow the enemy to abort the dream of God in your heart before it's born. I do not know how I'm going to preach this twice. And then you say, well, Jen, I don't have peace. The pastor last Sunday who was here preached this. He nicked it straight out of my notes because it's written here. The I don't have peace pastor moment. Let me share something with you, church. I haven't had peace since 1985. In actual fact, Dave and I were laughing that we had 3 days without responsibility. And the 3 days were in Hong Kong on our way moving from Australia to Great Britain in 1991. February 1991, we had 3 days without responsibility. Welcome to the journey, church. Don't tell me I don't have peace, pastor. My Bible says this, that God says he will give you peace that passes all understanding. So basically it means if you're looking for a peace that passes all understanding, you're jolly well in a situation that makes no sense. So I figure let's get back on the horse and keep riding here because that don't have peace, pastor thing doesn't wash with me. Because what we do, church, is this. We get in an awkward situation and we think, there's no peace. I don't have peace. I'm just going to back down because I don't have peace. I'm trying to do it as good as he did it last weekend, but I can't. I don't have peace. So then you tell me, I'm not going to resume my destiny because I don't have peace. I'm sure Mary didn't have a whole lot of peace. She didn't have a whole lot of peace. And after Jesus was born, she was pursued. Let me read to you a little bit more of the scripture. It says this. When they had gone in Matthew chapter 2, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Great. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt where he stayed until the death of Herod. Church, we are pursued at times. We are chased down by all sorts of stuff when we're on our way to where God wants to take us. But I figure if we're going to live for something, live for something. If we're going to commit to something, commit to something. If we're going to believe that God wants to come and radically touch mankind, then I'm willing to wear it on my back, and we all need to be that kind of person that is passionate about the kingdom, that doesn't sit down on a bad day, that doesn't walk out the door of the church on a bad day. I have seen so many people robbed of their destiny because they have not decided to live for something and stay in the house of God. I am very old in the tooth. I've seen it all. I've seen beautiful young women come into the house of God, and some guy out there in the community with a nice smile and a fast car whisks them out of church, and they abort their destiny. You don't want to marry a Muppet, young women. Don't bother. Wait for the man of God. Oh, I'm on something. Come on. I've seen so many destinies aborted by silliness. I've seen destinies aborted by the pastor not giving them a smile on a Sunday. For goodness sake, do you know how much it takes to do this? I can't smile as well. It's too much to ask. I've seen people abort their destiny because, say, the pastors talk about money too much. Hello, I'm scratching the itch. The reason we talk about money is there's a world to save. Come on, the reason we talk about money and giving is a world to save. There's people to touch. There's countries that hardly even know the name of Jesus. Come on. Ooh. Ooh. Sometimes it's not peace we need, but a new work ethic. Colin, I'm going to empty the church today. I texted my son last night that I was going to say this, and he texted me back, heathen. Sometimes we just need some bloody-minded conviction. Oh, did you feel the religious spirit then? Rose. Sometimes we just need some conviction. Sometimes we just need to believe God through the hard times to know that the promise is coming about and to hold on until it does. I'm not going anywhere. I could have been on the first place out of this godforsaken place in February 1991 with grey houses, grey jackets and grey people. Just come off the beach, come on. But you stick at something because you have conviction. You got to live for something. You got to believe in something. The plan of God for the redemption of mankind did not have anything going for it. It was a giant problem. What happens to us when the enemy comes? When we have hardship and we have battles, and in a moment we compromise the plan of God for a moment of comfort, for a quiet life. I want to rouse your spirits again today to believe God. To believe God for the impossible. To believe God for destiny to unfold in your lives. To pick up the things that you put down because it was too hard and begin fighting for them again. So many people say to me, well, it's too hard, it can't be the will of God anymore. No, if it's too hard, it probably is the will of God. Because when it's too hard, it takes you out of the zone of something you can do, and you've got to believe God for it. You've got to believe there's a bigger God than you in that circumstance. And you know what that does to you? It takes you into the prayer closet. It makes you a person that goes and prays. It makes you a person that has to rely on God instead of your own ability to solve problems. If it's too hard, it probably is God. Get in there and pray and believe God for a miracle. Stand up and fight. Stand up and fight for your promise. We need to stand up against a soft generation that chooses entitlement over working hard. We need to stand up against the weak spirit that sits down when God is trying to change our attitudes. You need to guard the deposit of God within you. Don't walk out the door of your big future. Oh, it's quiet in here. I feel today that I'm speaking to the church as your senior pastor, that we are going somewhere as a house. And I know that if I have been fighting incredible spiritual battles, like there's been times I've sat in my lounge room and I've literally felt that I was fighting against principalities and powers so strongly. And I know that if I'm going through that, you're doing that right now too. But the people that fight win battles. The people that fight win battles. Because at the end of the day, our God wins. Our God wins. At the end of the day, did anybody hear me? At the end of the day, our God wins. We will be in Waverley praising God in a 1,500-seater auditorium. We will be in that place. You will be in that house of your dreams. You will, in Jesus' name, have a thriving business. You will be the person that has believed God. You will see the promise. Do you know, Dave and I have been fighting for 9 years, and some other people here as well have been fighting for 9 years, a very unjust situation where we are being sued for £380,000. And we've been fighting against this for 9 years. And I got sick of it the other day, again, and I cried out to God, and he said from that scripture, it says, though it linger, wait for it. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. So though you may be in the waiting room right now, God speaks of an end, because ultimately God brings you justice, and ultimately God brings you the victory, and ultimately God gives you salvation and healing and all those things that you've been believing for. Don't sit down in your bedroom and say no before God's just about to cause your breakthrough. Come on, church. We read about Moses as well, and the book of Exodus. Another baby born. Story of Moses. He was another baby born, and he was saved to be a great deliverer. Do you know where this thought originally came into my heart from? It was this. I have a friend, Jane Evans, who pastors a church in America. In the 25th birthday magazine, she did this piece, and it so touched me. And what Jane wrote was this. She said, every baby in the Bible that was not meant to be born turned out to be a great deliverer. And she wrote in this piece, if you've still got the magazine, you can have a look. And she wrote this piece and she said, I knew when I met Jenny Gilpin that she was a baby never meant to be born. So therefore, she was going to be a great deliverer. You're destined to be a great deliverer. And there's a baby of a dream inside your spirit that you need to guard. Guard the deposit of God within your spirit. Moses' life, he was hunted down with destiny written all over it. Do you know there's this amazing verse that completely got hold of my attention? It's in Exodus chapter 1, verse 19. I'm going to read this to you. You'll think this makes no sense, but let me explain it to you. It says, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwives arrive. And it struck me that we are those people that give birth to a dream before the enemy can come and swipe it from our souls. Wow. I don't know about you, I want to be that person. I want to stand against adversity with determination in my spirit, because I know that the dream will come to pass. In Jesus' name. I'm praying that I'm inserting faith into your spirits again to believe again. Exodus 2. Let me read to you the story of Moses here. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it amongst the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. And then further along it said, Hebrew's daughter said to her nurse, nurse him for me, and I will pay you. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And here was a baby, a dream birthed again, and again a dream threatened. I'm going to read to you something that I really feel is a word today. I'm going to read it to you, a word today for our lives in this house. Because we've been hidden away as a church for 25 years. and we feel in a precarious position in a moment where we will be turfed out of this building and we will be in that land of indecision between here and Waverley. But God is placing us as a church, I'm going to read it to you in a moment, in a tar basket by the river of our destiny. It won't look salubrious, but it will be the place where the dream of God is birthed, just as Jesus was born in a barn with no whistles and bells. Let me read this to you, church. For a while, the dream was hidden. Moses was out of sight. But the time came when his destiny could no longer be settled in the back streets, and his life had to be put in danger. Hidden in a dangerous little basket, poised alongside a raging river which could threaten his very life. It made no sense for him to be taken out of hiding and for him to be endangered in this way. But this very process was actually the vehicle that will propel him into his destiny. Hope City Church, people in the sound of this message today, the hiding was God and it was good. But that comfort is no longer the place that can propel you. And God wishes to use you and cause you to be a great deliverer. And so he chooses to place us as a house and you as individuals in a small basket. Not as salubrious or making as much sense as the hiding place, but he's placing that basket alongside the raging river that will propel you into your God-given future. The river rages and circumstances threaten, and at times logic does not make sense, but God is using this problem as a propellant to carry us along a raging river to our destiny. There is a dream in the heart of God that needs to come about, and it will be the portion of those who dream to deny the enemy his pleasure, who embrace hard and who refuse to let go of destiny. There is a new world, a new season that the intrepid and the brave will face and win. There are Goliaths that face you that will be slayed, for I have put my word in your mouth and I have covered you with my hand. This house has faced a barrage of resistance as it slays the Goliaths of religion and lack. But surely as these Goliaths are slain, this house shall become a voice to the spirits of religion and lack. A new day awaits. Stand with me, church, this morning. Stand with me, church, this morning. This is not a nice Sunday message. This is not tickle me and send me home to my turkey. I'll be lucky if I get a Vegemite sandwich on a Sunday. Marmite, for those that don't understand. This is a crucial moment. We are deciding as a body of people this morning not to back down. Not to people that live for peace, but live for purpose. That choose to embrace destiny. That take hard as a challenge. Everybody that knows me knows if you say to me, I'll challenge you to 100 sit-ups, I'll do 150. My trainer says to me, I know not to ask you to do any more because you will. May we be those type of people. These very lives in the Bible were threatened, but they turned out to be great deliverers of nations. Mary's determination and Joseph's refusal to be embarrassed or threatened ushered in the redemption story. Who is it that sits today the other side of your determination to not back down? What nations will be changed because you chose today to be a people that live for a life other than your own? Heaven will record the names of those who chose to live with eternity in their hearts and to not live for themselves but to live as one that was bought with a price. Are you with me, church? This is a sacred moment. We have some time. We're going to recommit ourselves this morning to be deliverers. I know there's people in this place you have gone through hard on another level. I've got a badge that Siobhan Bullock, our Frankfurt pastor, gave me, and it's on my notice board in my office. And excuse my French. And the badge says, I've survived damn near everything. The reason I've chosen to survive is because there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that will touch God because of my choice. God is just about to usher us as a church. And just as I said it, the Holy Spirit said to me then, there are people here right now that are cynical about these words. Listen to me. God is just about to usher us in as a church to a whole new season of influence. This won't be a local church anymore. You won't like it in Waverley when your seat is taken up by a drunk and a skunk, alongside a politician. The old and the young, the high and the low, shall sit in my house, says the Lord. Because I have a dream. And I lay it before you, my people, this morning. Say, will you be those that choose to live for the life of another? Will you be those that choose to live for the life of a nation that has sunk into secularism? Will you be those that choose to sacrifice your lives to make another's great? For God says, if you would be that people, if you would be that people, behind that decision, says God, comes provision and abundance and joy for your life like you have never known. Behind that decision, says the Lord, comes the dreams of your heart, the plans of your life. For I want, says the Lord, to make your plans succeed. But God says this morning, would you put my house first? Would you put the plan of God first? Would you refuse to lay down destiny again and again and again, but choose to people to be the people that choose brave? We're just going to have an altar call this morning. We've just got 10 minutes. And I know this is not like, I'm still going to stop apologizing. That's ridiculous. We need to choose again. We need to choose again. We need to realize that we're pregnant with a dream. We're pregnant with a problem. Who cares? Needs to be our attitude. So I'm going to invite you right across the place this morning to come down here this morning and recommit yourself to not aborting the dream of God, to picking up the dream of God, not just for this house, but for your life, not letting it go, not letting the past harness you or the future scare you. Let's sing.
Thanks for downloading another inspirational message from Pastor Colin Blows. For more information, visit hopecitychurch.tv.